You're listening to Lone Star Community Radio on 104.5 KCZW LP Conroe and 106.1 KZCC LP Conroe and worldwide on IRLoneStar.com.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Rick Schisler, your host of the Weekly Business Hour. And I want to thank you right off the bat for joining us today. I think we have a wonderful program this week, and I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day to listen live or listen later on one of our many podcasts. Our sponsor of the show today is OneBestConsult.com, where common sense business advice is available to you. I am the founder and owner of OneBestConsult.com, and I encourage you to check out that website. It's very simple. bestconsult.com. A lot of good information there for you. No cost. If you'd like to talk to me one-on-one, I'm available to do that as well. Please send in your thoughts about the program. I always appreciate that. It's very simple. onebestconsult@gmail.com. Our address is gmail.com. onebestconsult@gmail.com. So I'm looking for small business clients. I'm looking for small business people who have questions who want to build better value with their business. And I want to remind you that this show is on Facebook. We're on YouTube and a number of places. Facebook, just go to our page, The Weekly Business Hour. You'll find all previous shows back for almost a year. You can catch up with us. You can listen to them. You can see who's on the show, what the topics are. And if there's something there of interest, you can listen to it. I would encourage you two things. One, like us on Facebook. That's The Weekly Business Hour. Like us on Facebook. Become one of our followers. And secondly, set up an alert so that each Wednesday following the Monday show, when the new show is posted, if you miss the show, you're alerted that it's there. And you can check in at Facebook and see if the content and or the guest are an interest and listen to the show yourself. A lot of great things going on in the community this week. I want to mention a couple of them to you if I can. The Chamber, our own Conroe Chamber, has a show, a number of things happening today and this week, and I want to mention them to you, a couple of them. One, Chamber University, this is really one that I encourage anyone in the greater Conroe area, Montgomery County area, to attend. It's about automated marketing tools, how you capture and nurture your leads. You know, so often people think, well, this is for the bigger businesses. I'm a sole proprietor. I have a small business. Yes, I do keep an email list of my customers and so on and so forth. But this stuff is available. It's gotten very inexpensive. It's not hard to implement, and it really can make a difference. But on July 19th, from 11:30 to 1, the Conroe Chamber, just go to conroe.org and register. I encourage you to attend that potential event. I think it's fantastic. Another good thing. And tomorrow, right here on Lone Star Community Radio at 2 o'clock, Dr. Carlos Sanchez, our good friend over at the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, is going to have Humberto Garcia. Mr. Garcia owns an insurance agency, and he's going to talk about running that agency, all the different challenges of building an insurance agency. But he's also going to have some tips about business insurance, and I think it's important. All of us that own businesses stay up with what's going on with our business insurance, because like everything else, it's changing. That's 2 o'clock tomorrow. I encourage you, check it out right here on Lone Star Community Radio, the Hispanic Community Radio Show. It's a great show, and I think you can pick up some great tips from that show. Well, opportunities, they're always right in front of us. So my encouragement, as always, is grab the ones that are in front of you. And one of those opportunities is to join us here each week on the Weekly Business Hour. This is where Montgomery County and businesses really from throughout the world, as we have found, have come to talk about the latest in business news, ideas to improve your business, and to hear from some of our own local business leaders on how they have found success right here in Montgomery County. And I'm going to move forward in the show today because we've got a lot to talk about. I think we've got a fantastic guest, someone who it goes beyond Montgomery County, and the organization he's involved in is really available throughout this country and perhaps the world. Ted Leach is with us. He's with Expense Reduction Analyst. And Ted, you know, one of the things I think about when I think about you, and I was looking at your website and getting ready for the show, so often in business we talk about revenue, sales, sales, sales. That's marketing. That must be 80-90% of what we talk about in business, it seems like. And then the profit and loss, right? But we sort of skip the expenses. And here you are, you've got a company that can come in and actually help people with their expenses. Tell us who you are and what your company does, please. Ted Leach.
Thanks, Rick. Yes, my name is Ted Leach, and I'm with Expense Reduction Analysts. And we're actually a global consulting organization that works with companies to improve cash flow through the reduction of operating expenses. And we operate in about 42 different cost categories. And really, we try to provide information to our clients so that they can make the best decisions.
Well, you know, one of the things that strikes me, and again, the expense category doesn't get enough discussion when we're talking business. I mean, when I interview or have a client and I talk about what's your issues, what do you want to talk about, it's not unusual. They don't talk about expenses.
Unless we're in a downturn.
Well, yeah, you're right. They talk about them then, but they still start with sales. They still talk about radio. What can I do with my marketing and advertising? Or I've got a problem employee, which is an expense. But never about how can I really reduce my expenses from a strategic point of view. Mm-hmm. Why do businesses leave so much money on the table, generally speaking, with expenses? I mean, it's money that you've already brought in and you've overpaid, so to speak, I guess, mm-hmm. or ignored or not paid enough attention, and you're leaving money you've already earned on the table.
Well, what we've learned over the last 30 or almost 30 years of doing this is that it's really about knowledge. And most of our clients are very, very educated and knowledgeable about their main cost of goods sold or their personnel costs. But a lot of the other costs, they don't go to that depth of knowledge in those different cost categories. And so without that knowledge, there's going to be opportunity for opportunity to overpay. And not get the best value. And really, that's what we're talking about here is value. It's not necessarily the lowest price. It's getting the best price for the best good, the best quality of good or service.
You know, you make an interesting point there. So often, and I've got this visual in my mind going into a business that's been in existence for 10, 20 or more years, and they've been doing it the same way, particularly on the expense side. They may have a new product. They may be delivering service a little bit different. But so many things that happen on a day-to-day basis which create expenses are just done the way they've always been done. How do you break down that barrier?
You're absolutely right. I mean, when part of the best practices that we try to teach our clients is to ask the question, why do you do it this way? Because what you just said is so prevalent of, well, we've always done it that way. And really understanding you know, why a specific good or service is being purchased is probably the first step in managing that expense. So it's very important to understand that aspect of it. And that's you know, when you talk about doing something the same way over and over again, that complacency often leads to I don't want to say being taken advantage of, but just leads to opportunity to find savings.
Yeah, and I think that's something people need to understand. There's not a lot of drama in this.
No.
As far as you're going to find somebody that's been taking advantage of the situation, either internally or externally. I mean, that happens all the time. But the fact that I've been buying, say, from or purchasing from the same vendor supplier for years who doesn't really pay much attention. I mean, they're an order-taking company, at least on my account now. They may be out on others. And it's up to me as a business owner to be really isn't to be proactive. To get more out of that vendor, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have to understand that the primary purpose of a business in a market economy is to sell a good or service at the greatest profit margin you can while still satisfying your customer. And so the goals of the vendor's salespeople is to maximize that relationship and to get as much margin as they can out of that relationship while still keeping the client happy. And that level of margin can vary greatly from one customer to the next. And so understanding, you know, really understanding your vendor's business, and this is also one of the reasons why a lot of our clients just don't have the time to get down to it, is you really need to understand your vendor's business and what's driving their profit margin, and so that you can become a more educated negotiator.
Well, you know, you make some interesting points. I'm curious, though, one thing as I went through this is, what in your experience has been the single biggest area where you have found additional money or found cash flow that was just going out the door, so to speak? What particular expense is the real big one?
Well, we work in 42 different cost categories, so we work in every industry. It's a close tie. The two biggest industries that we're involved with are healthcare and manufacturing. And in the healthcare space, it's going to be medical supplies and pharmacy. Those are the two biggest. And then equally as big in the manufacturing space is transportation or freight. Those two categories outproduce for us. We find more opportunity there than any other category. And I'd say telecommunications is probably a close third.
Okay, now the first one was?
In the healthcare space, it's going to be medical supplies and pharmacy.
Okay, that is if I'm a health, but if I'm just a Main Street business, what's it going to be?
Just a Main Street business, so probably office supplies, consumables, office equipment, IT, telecommunications for sure would be one. And that's probably, those are probably going to be the most common.
You know, if I'm going to work with these suppliers or providers of these products and services, can you give me an idea of what you're really talking about, tangibilize it for me? What are some steps that you would take or you would recommend, just some basic steps without giving away your trade secrets, to get a better relationship, get better value, as you mentioned,
absolutely,
with a supplier?
And really the first step is internal. So, analyzing your data, how are you spending? And it's tedious, to be honest with you, and that's one of the reasons why it's not a problem for us to share our secrets, because most people just don't take the time to do it, or they the effort. So it's internal. It's let's take a subjective look or an objective look at all of your data, your invoices, your contracts, and then let's figure out the subjective side of it: is why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we buying from this vendor? Why is it that we're buying this specific product over another? So really start to analyze that data, and that makes you a more educated consumer in that specific cost category. And then the next step would be to learn a little bit more about your vendor's business. I mean, if you think about the buying process, the vendor knows a lot about your business, but in most areas, especially like office supplies or telecommunications, the business doesn't know that much about the vendor's business. So take a little bit of time, become educated about what drives their profit, and their terminology, their lingo, because all of those are signs that you send to in a negotiating process, that you send to the vendor, that you either know about their business or you don't know, and that will affect the actual margin that is that's offered to you.
You make a point, and I guess indirectly, and I picked up on this listening to you. There's a lot of work that has to be done behind the scenes, so to speak, data and so on and so forth. So that's why I engage you. I bring in sort of a third party, because my staff, if I'm running my business right, probably isn't geared up to stop and step aside for a few days, few hours, whatever it would take to really crunch these numbers. Plus, they're not sure or wouldn't be educated on what to look for.
Correct. And then also you take all of that information and then you build a request for proposal. So that you can ask the right questions of your vendor, so that once again you're getting the best information, but also you're sending the signal that you're taking this seriously and that you know what you're talking about. You're not an uneducated. I mean, think about buying a car. If you walk into a car dealership and act like you don't know anything about the car buying process, you're probably not going to get the best deal. Whereas if you go in and you're very educated about the automobile, the financing, all that, you're probably going to send the signal that we need to sharpen our pencil for this person.
Well, you make a wonderful point, because I saw that time and again in business that in dealing as a vendor selling products, we had our A customers who struck the best deal. They paid their bills. They did some other things, but they received the best pricing day in and day out. And
every
well-run
day.
Business has that. I guess when I'm buying, I want to be in the A category if
Correct.
Possible.
Absolutely.
Good point. I got to ask you about a term. There was a term when I was reading some of your material and studying things before the show, optimize cost. What does that mean?
Well, really, it's what we've been talking about today, and that's understand the expense category, understand why what's going into that cost, and then get the best value. Because once again, when most people see the name of our company, they think it's just about the lowest price. And when you optimize cost, you're getting the highest value, which is really the combination of price and the quality of good or service. And so when you're optimizing your costs, you're getting a the best value for that specific good or service, and you're understanding exactly why you need or why you're buying from that specific vendor.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, we're already to our first break. Ted, I appreciate it. I mean, I'm sitting here just full of knowledge. But when we come back from the break, ladies and gentlemen, I've asked Ted to give us kind of a case study of an actual situation. Hopefully that if you haven't related to some of this or want to understand it better, you can relate to this actual situation. So we're going to do a little case study. So I hope you'll stay with us and we'll be right back with you.
Hey guys, this is Connor.
This is Dick.
This is Chris.
And we're with the Ticket Stub Podcast every Thursday live at noon on 104.5 and 106.1 FM in the Conroe area. Also, anytime at irlonestar.com. You go to irlonestar.com/TTS. You can find all of our social media.
And don't forget, we give away 2 tickets to the Grand Theater on every show.
If you like movies and you like complaining or celebrating anything that has to do with the silver screen, check out the Ticket Stub Podcast and join us every Thursday at noon o'clock on Lone Star Community Radio.
Statistics show that 1 out of every 6 Texans struggles with food insecurity and hunger. And many people don't eat enough fruits and vegetables every day. The Better Living for Texans program is here to help you learn how to make healthy menu choices, save money at the grocery store, prepare quick and delicious meals, get more good nutrition in your day, and get more physical activity. Classes are fun, friendly, interactive, and free, and taught in English and Spanish. We are Texas A&M AgriLife Extension, helping Texans make their lives better.
A Lone Star Community Radio is Montgomery County's radio station with talk, music, weather, and traffic for Montgomery County. Have a question or comment about one of our shows? Want to know how to reach a host? Just contact the station at irlonestar.com or call in and leave a message at 936-647-3776. Get involved with your community with Lone Star Community Radio.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this segment of the Weekly Business Hour. The Weekly Business Hour is sponsored by OneBestConsult.com. I'm Rick Schisler, your host for today's show, and also the founder of OneBestConsult.com. And we're here after I take that breath. We're talking to Ted Leach, and I hope you will buckle up because I think you're going to really be interested about the case study of how expense reduction and Ted's company, Expense Reduction Analyst, can really help a company focus on some of these things and drill a lot deeper than most of us would have ever thought, and in the long run, save us quite a bit of money. Ted, let's jump into the case study. What do you got for us?
Okay. Well, this was an example. They're a distributor here in the Houston area, and over the past several years, we've done about 8 different projects for them, ranging from wireless telecommunications to regular telecommunications, so data and voice, office supplies, office equipment supplies, and uniforms. And I'll just touch on like uniforms as an example, which was a one of the good projects or a good example for this type of case study. And this is a organization that has several locations across the state, and uniforms is a fairly large spend for them, but was not a really assigned to anybody to manage it. And so you have not a great knowledge about what, you know, what's involved in procuring uniforms or renting uniforms and the such. And so our process went through and really educated them on what the ins and outs of the contracts, you know, what's available, the different vendors that were there. They were happy with their incumbent vendor, and but really understanding some of the tactics that are used within the organization that isn't in the best interest of the client. Not that it is providing poor service, but just from a negotiating and contract process. And so, long story short, you know, we ended up sticking with the incumbent, and at a 42% savings. And mind you, this is an organization that's pretty good at negotiating. They operate in a very, very slim margin business. And so every dollar counts. And so they were thrilled in that it's not a major expense for them, but it's definitely one that is part of that, you know, all rivers or all streams lead to a river. And so they were very happy that we were able to educate them and also consolidate a lot of the contracts and make it easier the next time that they go around to negotiate.
So you, let me unpack this a little bit. 42% reduction in their annual cost for uniforms.
Correct.
Which I'm a little familiar with that industry and understand it can be expensive. So you've got your drivers, maybe some of your internal personnel, people wearing uniforms. Mm-hmm. Everybody understands.
Exactly.
Those uniforms are usually changed once a day, particularly. And then you've got the kind like mechanics wear that get very dirty. There's a lot of nuances that go into negotiating that kind of contract. So what your company did is they came in, took the uniform contract itself with some knowledge of the industry, being the uniform supply industry, and started to drill down into that contract and look for opportunities to save the client money as far as service, what was provided, what was purchased, I assume,
mm-hmm.
all the way through. And the net to the client was 42% savings.
Correct.
I just think this is a fantastic example to those who are listening that have business and have expenses. And it doesn't have to be a large company per se, but we all have these expenses and we think we've done a good job negotiating, sitting across the table from someone. But without all this knowledge and understanding, like you say, it begins to make a lot of sense to me.
You don't know what you don't know.
Right.
And that's where we can sort of shine the light on what you don't know.
Really interesting deal. Well, let me ask you this. When you take on a new client, for example, what is your approach, sort of a first step to analyze the client's expenses? I mean, do you take an engagement just on a specific item like uniforms, or would you come into my business and kind of look through my expenses and say, well, here are some areas and make some suggestions and make a proposal from that? How do you work?
Good question. We start with a profit and loss statement or a general ledger summary. And so we look at the spends holistically. And then we can identify areas where there might be opportunity. And then from that stage, we have a discussion with usually the CFO or the operations manager who's overseeing those expenses to see if if there's any areas that are off limits. We obviously can't help with sacred cows. So if someone's purchasing because there's a brother-in-law relationship, that type of thing, then there's really no need for us to take a look at it. So we try to weed the sacred cows out. And then it's really, it's driven by the client. So the client, there may be, a dozen different categories that we can help in, and the client will say, well, these are the ones that I'm most concerned about. Let's start with these three or four, and we'll move our way through it over time. That's generally how it goes.
So the fact is you can come in, you're not just, you mentioned and the client, the distributor, you were hired a number of projects, but the idea is when you started, you went in and looked at everything.
Correct.
And said, here's a list. Where do you want us
yeah.
to start?
We build a plan, a strategy, and generally we try to have some end goal in mind. So if they're needing to find a certain amount of money to, hire new people or to buy a piece of equipment, we like to tie our projects to some other goal that the company has so that we can find that cash that they can put to work back into their business.
So you work with them really to reallocate those funds to
Correct.
An area that they feel will be more profitable to the company.
Correct.
Makes a lot of sense. Let me give you an example. To kind of look at this at a different angle, all of us, well, most businesses use some kind of outside service. One of the most common is like a cleaning service, particularly if our business has an office area or whatnot. But I've even seen this done in plants where we outsource, they come in and clean the plant, clean the equipment. So I've got this outsource. How do I know if I'm getting maximum value from my cleaning service? I mean, what is it that tells me that, this is really good value for what I'm getting?
Two pieces. One is going to be the service that they provide. So the folks that are in your plant can evaluate if they're doing a good job or not. And that's primarily, obviously the price doesn't matter if they're not doing a good job. Ask the folks that are actually being affected by that vendor if they're doing a good job or not. And then two, it's figuring out what is the market for that same quality or good or service. You have to have that knowledge of what is, what does that service bear in your market, and is it competitively priced? And that's really the key, is to figure out, one, is it a good, are they doing a good job? And then two, is it a competitive price? Everybody has to make margin. I mean, that's one thing that I want to understand, is that the vendors that go through our process and don't make a margin, that's an unsuccessful process, because you're going to have a very unhappy vendor. People have to make profit. It's just, we want it to be competitive profit with for the quality of goods or services in that market.
Something comes to my mind is the fact, first of all, you mentioned two things. One is they have to be doing this, providing the service. Which, again, that's the litmus test. Yeah. If they're not cleaning the bathroom, they're not cleaning the bathroom. That I get. And the fact that they're being competitive. And I've seen this a lot of times. They'll say, well, I'll take three bids, mm-hmm. or even more. I've seen that for office cleaning. But if you're really drilling down into it, it's not apples to apples.
Yeah.
And people don't get that. It's just like, I pass that off.
I'll give you a quick example.
Sure.
It's just like a personal example. If you were having to replace the roof on your home with your own money, not the insurance, that's the other piece, is that it's easier to spend other people's money.
Right.
So if you were putting a roof on your home with your own money, you could probably go out and get three bids, negotiate, and get a good price. And that's what most, the example you just said. But would it be different if your next door neighbor had owned a residential roofing company for 30 years and just retired and had negotiated or put hundreds of roofs on homes in the last year? If you had that person as your advocate with all of the knowledge that they have and what it takes to put on a roof, what it takes to write a contract to do that, having that person as an advocate would probably result in a different outcome of you purchasing a new roof on your home, as opposed to you just going and getting three bids. Because that person knows how to ask the right questions, can sniff out when a vendor is making something up or is promising something that they can't deliver. Having that type of knowledge, it makes all the difference.
Well, I think you make a great point, and I love your example, because putting a roof on, that's something I hate, because it's so hard to get apples to apples. It's something people make fun of me, the extent I went, because we had two roofs done, replaced due to storms, and since my wife and I have been married. And this is happening every day in our businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we ignore it because we don't think it's a major item, but it can be very major. When it's all said and done, if you would, kind of closing things out for this morning, what are the three most important deliverables that your company brings to the table? Can you kind of go through that for us?
Sure. First is going to be knowledge. I would say that 100% of our clients agree that they're more knowledgeable about that specific cost category. Two is that the actual dollars to the bottom line. So in most situations, we don't get paid unless there's actually money that falls to the bottom line. And then three is sort of a tail to our projects, and how we get paid is auditing. And that's another best practice that we try to instill in our clients, is that you have to audit. After you've negotiated and after you've signed the contract, you have to make sure that what you agreed to is actually being delivered on the invoices. And I would say more than 50% of the time, we find errors in the very first round of audits, because the pricing is just not implemented correctly. And most of our clients, years prior, just never audited it after the contract was signed.
Boy, now that you make a big point there. I'm getting what I paid for. I had that situation come up recently for myself on a personal thing, where I ordered a bunch of supplies and
it happens
had
all the time.
And it was a matter of nickels and dimes, but it added up. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Well, as we finish out, what does the future hold for you and expense reduction?
Business is good. I mean, we started in the United States in 1992, and I've been doing this for 10 years. There's always opportunity. As long as there's businesses in the United States, there's always going to be opportunity for us. So I'm very optimistic and enjoy delivering. I mean, as I say, I can't really deliver bad news to my clients. I either tell them we're going to save a lot of money, or I tell them they're doing the best job possible.
Well, you make it clear on that. If I want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for us to do it?
My email address is TLEITCH@expensereduction.com. And our website is www.expensereduction.com. And those are probably the two best ways to learn about our company, but also to get in touch with me.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of our morning session with Ted and Expense Reduction. I hope you've enjoyed it. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the trucking industry as an example. There's 60,000 drivers short. I wonder why. We'll talk about it. Stay with us.
Lone Star Community Radio is looking for those who are interested in hosting their own talk show. With monthly and weekly slots available in Conroe's FM 104.5, 106.1, and on irlonestar.com. Start your own podcast, create your first YouTube channel, and be on TV. Contact Lone Star Community Radio online at irlonestar.com or call the station message line at 936-647-3776 to take your first step into the radio world.
What is homelessness? Have you seen parents struggle to find a job without having transportation or childcare? What about the children sleeping in cars with nothing to eat? Families shouldn't have to struggle to survive, and children should not be homeless. Family Promise of Montgomery County serves the needs of homeless families and their children. Learn about ways you can help and learn about partnership opportunities at www.familypromiseofmc.org or call our day center at 936-441-8778.
Listen in Mondays at noon to hear Conroe news from local nonprofits, businesses, upcoming events, Conroe Park events, news stories, and information that matters to you with your host, Margie Taylor of Taylorized PR. For more information about being a guest, visit irlonestar.com/Conroe Culture.
Don't forget to download the Lone Star Community Radio app for your Google Play or Apple Store. Bring Montgomery County's community radio with you anywhere with your smartphone or tablet. If you are in the Conroe area, tune in on FM. That is Conroe's FM 104.5, 106.1.
You are listening to the Weekly Business Hour, and this is Rick Schistler, your host, also the founder of OneBestConsult.com. OneBestConsult.com is also our sponsor. I encourage you to check them out. What we do is we give business advice, common sense business advice for the business owner. Our main objective is to help you as a business owner to build value in your business for yourself and your family. Well, I want to talk about a couple of things in this segment. One of them is so interesting, and it's been out there, it seems like, year after year after year, and nobody in an industry seems to get it. There was a headline this past weekend in the Wall Street Journal that basically said the trucking industry needs 60,000 plus more drivers. There's a driver shortage, and I think that's been around for almost ever. Even when the economy's not working well, there seems to be so much turnover in that industry that they can't keep enough drivers. And so my question, America needs more truck drivers. Do you know why? Because I think there's something applicable here, very applicable to any business. And I hope one day the trucking industry as an industry wakes up and figures it out. Basically, three things that I observe. First of all, the trucking industry doesn't build up their workforce. They tear it down. They have policies and rules, and in every company that I'm aware of, I have friends that have been long-haul truckers for years, and they make it very difficult. The industry, the companies make it very difficult for an individual to make a living driving a truck. The pay, I see a lot of arguments about that. The article I read said, well, $50,000 a year is not enough. It should be this. It should be that. It's not a question of pay, in my opinion. I'm not saying it shouldn't be higher. I don't know enough to tell you that. But what I can tell you is these people are always getting docked on their pay. if something happens, if there's some kind of infraction, this and that, it's a takeaway. It's always about takeaways, not an extra incentive, not an extra bonus for doing a job right. It's always a penalty. Every time I've talked to someone who's worked in the industry, regardless of the company they work for, and I'm talking about companies whose trailers you see on the roads every time you get on a freeway anywhere in America, the big companies, they're in a takeaway mode. And it creates an attitude among these people, the labor pool of truck drivers, that, hey, I take this job, it's going to cost me money. And when I say cost me money, there's going to be money taken out of my check. And I don't understand that. How do we hire people and from the get-go basically put them in a penalty box, saying if you don't follow the rules, and some of these rules are implemented by the federal government. These are rules that are in place to protect truckers, protect other drivers on the highway. I'm not arguing about the rules, but it is a climate. It is a very toxic environment that the industry, in my opinion, has created, and one that I can't imagine that they are able to bring anybody into. The second is, don't use outside forces as an excuse for your failures. This is what the industry does. They blame the government. They say you can't drive so many hours. You can't do this. It's always about the government. Nobody in the company being creative to figure out ways to make the job easier, make it more pleasant. It's always the government prevents us from doing this. Again, the negative conversation, very toxic environment. And third, you beat the competition by having the best and brightest work for you. This is true in any business. And I don't care what the job description is or what the level of pay is, from entry level, minimum wage, all the way up to the highest paid CEOs in our country. You've got to always be looking for the best and brightest in your business if you want to have a successful, valuable business. If you just want to get by, I understand. We're in a tough labor market right now in general. Always still look for the best and brightest. You know, it's funny. We all have seen or felt what a well-run company looks and feels like. We've done business at least once, personally or in our company, in our businesses, with a business that it really is run right. You see it. You see it in the faces of the people you deal business with. You see it in the invoice you get. You see how your order is handled. You see how you're taken care of every step of the way. It's a positive experience, and you need positive, bright people. Come on, trucking industry. Let's belly up to the bar, as my dad used to say, and start treating your people right. Start being a leader in building an industry where people want to work. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to have another conversation I want to talk to you about. So please stay with us, and we'll be right back with you.
Don't forget to download the Lone Star Community Radio app for your Google Play or Apple Store. Bring Montgomery County's community radio with you anywhere with your smartphone or tablet. If you are in the Conroe area, tune in on FM. That is Conroe's FM 104.5, 106.1.
What can the Better Living for Texans program do for you? You can learn how to increase your consumption of fruits and vegetables, choose foods that are relatively inexpensive and good to eat, make your food dollars last longer, prepare quick, nutritious meals, help your children learn how to eat healthier snacks, and much more. Our program is committed to helping people like you improve your health through providing research-based nutrition education in a friendly, cost-free, and relaxed environment. We are Texas A&M AgriLife Extension, helping Texans make their lives better.
Well, this is Rick Schisler, the host of the Weekly Business Hour, back with you again. And this is a part of the show I'd like to do a simple recap of our guest that we had, Ted Leach, expense reduction. What we really heard from Ted and what he does for a living has been doing for 10 years. Again, I hope that anyone who listens to this will take heed and at least take a good look at your expenses. And I would encourage you, though, to look to outside experts like Ted who know how to drill down into expenses, and they know about the industries and the businesses that are providing these services and products to you, and they can help you reduce these expenses, negotiate a better deal. And let's talk about expense reduction. I think the key thing I walk away with is that in your company, if you haven't already done it, you need to build what I call a culture of expense reduction. You know, I have been a part of a team that went into a company, a little larger company than I normally work with, where we found one of the real positives in that company was they had a culture of expense reduction. And what it was that people that work, particularly in the factory floor in producing the products, they look for opportunities to reduce expenses. And I'm not necessarily talking about finding cheaper materials or this or that, but they look for ways in the manufacturing process and the shipping department, as far as delivery of materials, you know, a lot of great ideas like just-in-time inventory came from people looking for ways to save money, to do things in a more efficient way and increase the margins of their company. And the same thing can happen in your company. It can be the guy who sweeps the floor after hours. They can see ways. Some things will be minor, such as the material that you use to clean your floors with might be available at a reduced cost at another location, or there may be another material that works. These are very simple ways, but certain ways things are produced can be done. In the day of technology, there's so many opportunities that have been tried and true. I'm not talking about the latest, greatest on the edge, which we've talked about on this program. But what I'm trying to encourage you to do is one of the things to do in your business is to build a culture for reduction. Salespeople can help you reduce expenses because they see how people are using products and services. If you have service teams such as plumbers, electricians, absolutely. Try to find ways to encourage these people to help you reduce your operating expenses. A lot of companies simply do it by having a box where people can drop ideas. They have a simple reward program where you're rewarded with a bonus and perhaps recognition. I mean, there are all kinds of ways to do this. They're very simple. They're not expensive. But the key is that you work every day to build a culture of expense reduction. Have people on the lookout for ways to save money for the company. Not cut corners, but save money for the company. Expense reduction, an area that is so often overlooked, and I encourage you to take a second look at it in your own company. We're going to go to our final break of the day now. When we come back, I'm going to offer you my one best consult tip of the week. Mentorship doesn't have to mean a formal long-term relationship. So stay with us. We'll talk about it. Everybody needs a mentor every day. So stay with us.
Hispanic Chamber connections with Dr. Carlos Sanchez, president of the Woodlands Conroe Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, featuring event announcements, member highlights, and more. Tuesdays at 1 p.m., broadcasting from the heart of Conroe, Texas on IRLoneStar.com and Conroe's FM 104.5, 106.1.
Lone Star Boxer Rescue is a nonprofit organization serving Montgomery County and surrounding areas, dedicated to the health and well-being of the boxer breed. Lone Star Boxer Rescue is run and managed 100% by volunteers since 1999. Our main objective is to rescue, rehabilitate, and rehome boxers that come to us from many sources, including local animal shelters, owner surrenders, and strays. For more information about Lone Star Boxer Rescue, visit our website at lsbr.org.
Lone Star Community Radio is looking for those who are interested in hosting their own talk show with monthly and weekly slots available on Conroe's FM 104.5 and 106.1 and on IRLoneStar.com. Start your own podcast, create your first YouTube channel, and be on TV. Contact Lone Star Community Radio online at IRLoneStar.com or call the station message line at 936-647-3776.
You are listening to the Weekly Business Hour, and this is Rick Schisler, your host. This is our final segment today where I usually talk about what I call my tip of the week, and our onebestconsult.com tip of the week this week is about mentorship and the fact that it doesn't have to be a formal long-term relationship. I've talked about mentoring on this program. That's what I am, as a mentor. I use my 40-plus years of experience in growing up in a family business, later having five businesses of my own that either bought or built from scratch, developed and sold, and try to use all that experience to offer back to people who are trying to build businesses to mentor them. And I really enjoy being a mentor, as I've been for almost 15 years now. And a lot of times folks say, well, I'm a little unsure if I want to get a mentor. Well, the reality is most of us have already had mentors in life, a parent, someone else in our family that we've talked to at least once or twice or maybe more often about a situation, personal situation, business situation, school situation. I mean, we've already been in the mentorship mold before, and we just didn't realize it. But in a more formal way, I want to talk to you about the informal mentorship. Again, in business, we're encouraged to find mentors. One of the things that I've learned over the years in interviewing people on this program for over 5 years, over 200 people, the very successful businesses, almost without exception, all had a formal mentor relationship with someone. And that is enough proof for me. I know the people I work with and the people who've worked with me over the years, it does make for a more successful, valuable business situation that I'm in if I have someone that's working with me one-on-one. You know, Key Corporation, a large company, CEO Beth Mooney mentioned that every interaction has the potential to help you learn and grow. Well, that's reality. Every time we talk to someone, if we'll open our ears, close our mouth, we'll learn something. I have the potential to learn something. It could be as simple as buying a package of gum. We could learn something at the counter. I try to go around every day in life listening and trying to learn from others. But, you know, she made a point. She says mentoring can be a moment, can be in the moment, and mentoring can have a short lifespan. There is so much to be gleaned from considering every encounter that you can as an opportunity to garner insights and have someone turn the mirror on you and help you develop. I want to talk a little bit about that in the few minutes we have left in the show today. One, obviously, I encourage you to do what I try to do every day is to learn. And again, we talk about reading, we talk about listening to news, we talk about gaining information from a variety of sources. One of the main places we can gain information is from people as we go through our day. And just like my example of buying a package of gum in a store, one of the things I feel kind of sad, we read and learn about millennials, and we learn that young people, even younger than millennials, don't have the ability to communicate because everything, as they communicate from a voice, to have a conversation, to talk to people. It's just been some interesting statistics and data and studies done. They deal with the keystroke, whether it be a text, an email, or some other form. The conversation creates that mentorship. I'm not saying I can't chat back and forth with someone with a keystroke and not learn from them, but the fact that when I'm talking to people, my ears are open, I'll pick up on something, some little something here or there, and can follow up perhaps with a question. And I begin to enter into that mentor relationship. But the really valuable informal mentor relationships are ones that we pick up in the business environment. It can be people in the business we work in. It could be a vendor overlooked by many people. I have personally been mentored by several vendors in my career that were providing services or products to the companies I work for. And I spent time, I bought some lunches, and I learned so much from these people. It was amazing, the kind of information, not just about their business, but about business in general. And I've been blessed by two particular individuals who taught me so much about business, about life, just in these informal discussions that I was able to just participate, generate by picking up a lunch or a dinner ticket. I encourage you to do that. The same thing within your own business, your own company. Find people and just informally over a cup of coffee, or perhaps ask if you can follow up later and maybe have a drink after work or a beer or whatever. Try to create that environment. And maybe you do it once a month in that informal relationship. Still informal, but it becomes regular. If you're getting something from the relationship and they in turn are, because the reality is many of us like to convey what we know to others. We like to share the information that we have. So three things I recommend. Always listen. You know, the old adage about, you know, why God gave us two ears, et cetera. Have your ears open. I know that gets old and worn out, but have your ears open because it's amazing. You can even overhear a conversation. If the situation's right, you can turn around and ask somebody, say, well, I heard you say this to this person, and I'd like to learn more about that. I'm curious about that. You know, use words like I'm curious, words like please. I'm amazed how many folks light up and want to talk to me, even if it's just for a few moments. These are opportunities to gain information that can be beneficial to me in my business, okay, in my business. So look for those opportunities. Second thing is keep focused on what you are trying to accomplish. You know, so many folks today I find kind of wander around in their careers and their businesses. And then on the other hand, I find those that are so focused on their business, so focused on their careers, and they're headed in a direction and they know what kind of information, or they should know what kind of information would be most beneficial to them. They try to put themselves in those situations, such as networking and whatnot, where they would have a chance to meet people that could help them with that situation. There's a discipline here that if you really want to make the most out of mentoring that you have, that you look for those people, those situations where you can pick up from people who are going to offer information, advice, et cetera, that fits what you need based on where you're trying to go with what you're doing. And always never be surprised by what you hear. I mean, again, welcome those surprises. You may be looking for one thing, but you'll hear another that may be worth a follow-up. Follow that trail and stay with it. You'll be amazed. And third, stay in touch. So many folks today don't really make an effort like they used to stay in touch. One of the biggest things that you can do to stay in touch with people is write a handwritten, boy, I said it, handwritten. And I understand today a lot of people can't even handwrite, which is amazing. Print, whatever you have to do. Say thank you when somebody offers you some advice or delivers a service that you learn something from. I went to the dentist the other day. I had a real problem with my tooth. It was just killing me. They went through everything, said, well, everything's fine and you look good. Maybe it's your sign, this or that. But they were so good about it. I sat down and wrote a note and thanked them for that service. Thank the people in the office. And you're saying, well, when do you find time for this? Hey, it took 3 minutes. The stationery's on my desk. The opportunity's there. Stay in touch. A lot of other ways to stay in touch. Again, look for informal opportunities to mentor and be mentored by staying in touch with people. Well, I'm going to close out today's show. We start a brand new series next week in our show. It's a succession of educational but entertaining conversations with business people who are considered experts in their relative fields. And our first guest will be Ashley Easterwood, owner of Springwoods Marketing. Ashley will lead us in a conversation about digital marketing and how you too can use it to grow your business and not get left behind. So I encourage you, tune in next Monday, 11 o'clock. Put it on your calendars right here at irlonestar.com or live on FM 106.5, 104.5, 106.1, excuse me. And remember, you too can sponsor the Weekly Business Hour. All you need to do is contact me at onebestconsult@gmail.com. Look for a podcast of today's show on the Weekly Business Hour page or channel, Facebook, YouTube, all over the social media. It'll be posted on Wednesday of this week. If you have comments, suggestions, email them. onebestconsult@gmail.com. Thank you again for joining us. Remember to stay in touch with what's happening in Montgomery County right here on Lone Star Community Radio. And remember, till next week, stay engaged and keep your focus on what counts in your business. Thanks.